Z-Trim Appetite Control is perfect for taking the edge off hunger.
I lost 6 pounds the first week and never felt hungry.
I lost a full pant size.
I've lost 15 pounds in 2 months without dieting.
Without dieting.
You're hearing the success stories of people who have discovered Z-Trim Appetite Control. Developed by the USDA, all-natural Z-Trim helps you feel satisfied before you eat more than you should.
I can breeze through work without distracting hunger pains.
I don't have to exercise and I still eat the foods that I love.
Z-Trim Appetite Control is a healthy way to help manage your weight regardless of diet or exercise.
I simply take 2 capsules before each meal.
Z-Trim Appetite Control is fantastic.
For people who need to manage their weight with limited physical activity, Z-Trim provides a naturally healthy option.
To order Z-Trim Appetite Control capsules made with USDA-developed Z-Trim, go to ztrim.com. That's ztrim.com. And enter the code word NATURAL for a 10% listener discount. Or call 1-877-MY-Z-Trim. The only thing you have to lose is weight.
Good evening, truth seekers. Chuckle Nuts is about one page into a speech. Let's join in right now, and we will take your calls afterwards for your comments on what this man is saying.
Along with local police. These Iraqi forces will operate from local police stations, conducting patrols and setting up checkpoints, and going door to door to gain the trust of Baghdad residents.
Oh, that'll work.
This is a strong commitment. But for it to succeed, our commanders say the Iraqis will need our help.
Oh, yeah.
So America will change our strategy to help the Iraqis carry out their campaign to put down sectarian violence and bring security to the people of Baghdad.
Well, what's it been up to this point?
This will require increasing American force levels.
Oh.
So I've committed more than 20,000 additional American troops to Iraq. The vast majority of them, 5 brigades, will be deployed to Baghdad. These troops will work alongside Iraqi units and be embedded in their formations. Our troops will have a well-defined mission.
At last?
To help Iraqis clear and secure neighborhoods.
That's good.
To help them protect the local population.
Oh, that'll work.
And to help ensure that the Iraqi forces left behind are capable of providing the security that Baghdad needs.
Oh, this man's been smoking it.
Many listening tonight will ask why this effort will succeed when previous operations to secure Baghdad did not.
Yes, I asked that.
Hear the differences.
Okay, hear the differences.
In earlier operations, Iraqi and American forces cleared many neighborhoods of terrorists and insurgents.
Yeah.
But when our forces moved on to other targets, the killers returned.
Ah, damn.
This time we will have the force levels we need to hold the areas that have been cleared.
Oh.
In earlier operations, political and sectarian interference prevented Iraqi and American forces from going into neighborhoods that are home to those fueling the sectarian violence. This time, Iraqi and American forces will have a green light to enter those neighborhoods.
But by whom?
And Prime Minister Maliki has pledged that political or sectarian interference will not be tolerated.
Have you told Muqtada al-Sadr?
I've made it clear to the Prime Minister and Iraq's other leaders.
Al-Sadr?
America's commitment is not open-ended.
What about al-Sadr?
If the Iraqi government does not follow through on its promises,
but
it will lose the support of the American people.
That's right, damn it.
And it will lose the support of the Iraqi people.
Yeah, them too.
Now is the time to act.
3 years ago.
The Prime Minister understands this. Here's what he told his people just last week.
Bush is nuts.
The Baghdad security plan will not provide a safe haven for any outlaws, regardless of their sectarian or political affiliation.
And I quit.
This new strategy will not yield an immediate end to suicide bombings, assassinations, or IED attacks.
Or dead Americans.
Our enemies in Iraq will make every effort to ensure that our television screens are filled with images of death and suffering.
Like ABC, NBC, CNN.
Yet over time, we can expect to see Iraqi troops chasing down murderers.
Sure we can.
Fewer brazen acts of terror.
When's this?
And growing trust and cooperation from Baghdad's residents.
In 2050.
When this happens, daily life will improve. Iraqis will gain confidence in their leaders.
And
the government will have the breathing space it needs to make progress in other critical areas.
Like turning on the lights?
Most of Iraq's Sunni and Shia want to live together in peace.
No, they don't.
And reducing the violence in Baghdad will help make reconciliation possible.
Oh, this guy is out of control.
Successful strategy for Iraq goes beyond military operations.
Here comes the Halliburton part.
Ordinary Iraqi citizens must see that military operations are accompanied by visible improvements in their neighborhoods and communities.
So pick up the trash!
So America will hold the Iraqi government to the benchmarks it has announced.
Here comes the Halliburton part.
To establish its authority, the Iraqi government plans to take responsibility for security in all of Iraq's provinces by November.
Of what year?
To give every Iraqi citizen a stake in the country's economy.
Uh-huh.
Iraq will pass legislation to share oil revenues among all Iraqis.
That's a lie, and you know
it. To show that it is committed to delivering a better life. The Iraqi government will spend $10 billion of its own money on reconstruction and infrastructure projects that will create new jobs.
Oh, goody!
To empower local leaders. Iraqis plan to hold provincial elections later this year.
Again.
And to allow more Iraqis to re-enter their nation's political life, the government will reform de-bathification laws and establish a fair process for considering amendments to Iraq's constitution.
Oh, they're going
to
bring the Baathists back. Okay.
America will change our approach to help the Iraqi government as it works to meet these benchmarks.
Like we'll leave.
In keeping with the recommendations of the Iraq Study Group, we will increase the embedding of American advisors in Iraqi Army units and partner a coalition brigade with every Iraqi Army division.
Advisors.
We'll help the Iraqis build a larger and better equipped army.
Oh, that's right, Vietnam.
And we will accelerate the training of Iraqi forces.
Advisors.
Which remains the essential U.S. security mission in Iraq.
Oh, that's our new mission?
We will give our commanders and civilians greater flexibility to spend funds for economic assistance.
Here comes the Halliburton part.
We will double the number of provincial reconstruction teams.
Oh.
These teams bring together military and civilian experts to help local Iraqi communities pursue reconciliation, strengthen the moderates, and speed the transition to Iraqi self-reliance. Secretary Rice will soon appoint a reconstruction coordinator in Baghdad to ensure better results for economic assistance being spent in Iraq.
Oh, a reconstruction coordinator.
As we make these changes, we will continue to pursue Al-Qaeda and foreign fighters.
Well, yeah.
Al-Qaeda is still active in Iraq.
Thanks to me.
Its home base is Anbar province. Al-Qaeda has helped make Anbar the most violent area of Iraq outside the capital.
No, we did that, George.
A captured Al-Qaeda document describes the terrorist plan to infiltrate and seize control of the province.
And the ink is barely dry on
it. This would bring Al-Qaeda closer to its goals of taking down Iraq's democracy.
Democracy?
Building a radical Islamic empire.
It's already there, George.
And launching new attacks on the United States at home and abroad.
Well, they've never done that yet.
Our military forces in Anbar are killing and capturing Al-Qaeda
leaders. Oh, good! I love blood!
And they're protecting the local population.
Uh-huh.
Recently, local tribal leaders have begun to show their willingness to take on Al-Qaeda. And as a result, our commanders believe we have an opportunity to deal a serious blow to the terrorists.
Take that, terrorist.
So I have given orders to increase American forces in Anbar province by 4,000 troops.
Oh, that'll help.
These troops will work with Iraqi and tribal forces to keep up the pressure on the terrorists.
Uh-huh.
America's men and women in uniform took away Al-Qaeda's safe haven in Afghanistan.
But they've taken it back.
And we will not allow them to reestablish it in Iraq.
They've taken it back.
Succeeding in Iraq also requires defending its territorial integrity and stabilizing the region in the face of extremist challenges.
Like the U.S.
This begins with addressing Iran and Syria.
All right, Iran. All right, Syria.
These two regimes are allowing terrorists and insurgents to use their territory to move in and out of Iraq.
Are you sure about that?
Iran is providing material support for attacks on American troops.
Then nuke them!
We will disrupt the attacks on our forces.
Nuke them!
We will interrupt the flow of support from Iran and Syria.
Them too!
And we will seek out and destroy the networks providing advanced weaponry and training to our enemies in Iraq.
With nukes!
We're also taking other steps to bolster the security of Iraq and protect American interests in the Middle East.
We're going to nuke them!
I recently ordered the deployment of an additional carrier strike group to the region.
And they have nukes!
We will expand intelligence sharing.
Sharing.
And deploy Patriot air defense systems to reassure our friends and allies.
And they have nukes!
We will work with the governments of Turkey and Iraq to help them resolve problems along their border.
Except with the Kurds.
And we will work with others to prevent Iran from gaining nuclear weapons and dominating the region. We will use America's full diplomatic resources to rally support for Iraq from nations throughout the Middle East.
Countries like
Saudi Arabia,
uh-huh.
Egypt,
uh-huh.
Jordan,
uh-huh.
and the Gulf states need to understand that an American defeat in Iraq would create a new sanctuary for extremists and a strategic threat to their survival.
And we can't let that happen.
These nations have a stake in a successful Iraq.
What about Israel?
It is at peace with its neighbors. And they must step up their support for Iraq's unity government.
What about Israel?
We endorse the Iraqi government's call to finalize an international compact that will bring new economic assistance in exchange for greater economic reform.
Here comes the Halliburton part.
And on Friday, Secretary Rice will leave for the region to build support for Iraq and continue the urgent diplomacy required to help bring peace to the Middle East.
And to look for a new shoe store.
The challenge playing out across the broader Middle East is more than a military conflict.
It's also a game of chess.
It is the decisive ideological struggle of our time.
Ooh.
On one side are those who believe in freedom and moderation.
The Iraqis.
On the other side are extremists who kill the innocent.
That's us.
And have declared their intention to destroy our way of life.
That would be the Brits.
In the long run, the most realistic way to protect the American people
is leave!
To provide a hopeful alternative to the hateful ideology of the enemy.
Islam.
By advancing liberty across a troubled region.
Oh.
It is in the interest of the United States to stand with the brave men and women who are risking their lives to claim their freedom and to help them as they work to raise up just and hopeful societies across the Middle East.
What about Israel?
From Afghanistan
to
Lebanon to the Palestinian territories. Millions of ordinary people are sick of the violence.
Aren't the Israelis?
And want a future of peace and opportunity for their children. And they are looking at Iraq.
And wetting themselves.
They want to know, will America withdraw and yield the future of that country to the extremists? Or will we stand with the Iraqis who have made the choice for freedom?
Or will the Americans invade us too?
The changes I've outlined tonight are aimed at ensuring the survival of a young democracy that is fighting for its life in a part of the world of enormous importance to American security.
Not to mention the oil.
Let me be clear.
For once, please.
The terrorists and insurgents in Iraq are without conscience.
Oh.
And they will make the year ahead bloody and violent.
So let's leave.
Even if our new strategy works exactly as planned, deadly acts of violence will continue. And we must expect more Iraqi and American casualties.
That's great, yeah.
The question is whether our new strategy will bring us closer to success.
Gotta have success.
I believe that it will.
Oh, good, okay.
Victory will not look like the ones our fathers and grandfathers achieved.
Won't be as...
There will be no surrender ceremony on the deck of a battleship.
It's in a desert.
But victory in Iraq will bring something new in the Arab world. A functioning democracy that polices its territory, upholds the rule of law, respects fundamental human liberties, and answers to its people.
Sort of like Saudi Arabia, right?
A democratic Iraq will not be perfect. But it will be a country that fights terrorists instead of harboring them.
Okay.
And it will help bring a future of peace and security.
For who?
For our children and our grandchildren.
Oh, yay! Is that it?
This new approach comes after consultations with Congress about the different courses we could take in Iraq.
Consultations?
Many are concerned that the Iraqis are becoming too dependent on the United States. And therefore, our policy should focus on protecting Iraq's borders and hunting down Al-Qaeda.
And coming home!
Their solution is to scale back America's efforts in Baghdad.
Well, that's wrong.
Or announce the phased withdrawal of our combat forces.
Nah, don't do that.
We carefully considered these proposals.
For about 3 minutes.
And we concluded that to step back now...
Yeah.
Would force a collapse of the Iraqi government.
Oh, no!
Tear the country apart.
No!
And result in mass killings on an unimaginable scale.
Sort of like right now.
Such a scenario would result in our troops being forced to stay in Iraq even longer.
Oh.
And confront an enemy that is even more lethal.
How so?
If we increase our support at this crucial moment.
Yeah.
And help the Iraqis break the current cycle of violence.
Yeah.
We can hasten the day our troops begin coming home.
In
the days ahead, my national security team will fully brief Congress on our new strategy.
Even the Democrats?
If members have improvements that can be made, we will make them. If circumstances change, we will adjust.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Honorable people have different views, and they will voice their criticisms.
I see. All right.
It is fair to hold our views up to scrutiny.
You won't let us!
and all involved have a responsibility to explain how the path they propose would be more likely to succeed.
Okay, you do that.
Acting on the good advice of Senator Joe Lieberman and other key members of Congress, we will form a new bipartisan working group that will help us come together across party lines to win the war on terror.
Lieberman was defeated in the primary.
This group will meet regularly with me and my administration. It will help strengthen our relationship with Congress.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh.
We can begin by working together to increase the size of the active Army and Marine Corps.
$20,000 bonuses.
So that America has the armed forces we need for the 21st century.
70 virgins.
We also need to examine ways to mobilize talented American civilians to deploy overseas. They can help build democratic institutions and communities and nations recovering from war and tyranny.
Who wants to go? Show of hands.
In these dangerous times, the United States is blessed to have extraordinary and selfless men and women willing to step forward and defend us.
Like my daughters, for example.
These young Americans understand that our cause in Iraq is no
and humans can coexist peacefully. It's more of Mike Malloy.
25 past the hour. Yeah, we stayed with it as long as we could. The phone number here is 800-989-1480. Let's hear what you got to say in just a moment here, because this is going to be a short segment and then a break. Then we'll come back and take your phone calls. Angie writes in, but wait, Mr. President, what about why are we there? How does Bush know what the Iraqi government is going to do? Why is it any of our business? And by the way, if God hadn't rid the world of evildoers, what makes him think he can or should? Could he please define success? Would it be better if we just ignored the dead people, sir? Are they irrelevant, sir? If innocent people are getting hurt, and that's why we're there, because innocent people here got hurt, aren't we more like the terrorists than you've noticed? Babble, babble, babble. Another break? It's obscene. Angie. All right, some of you are sending some really interesting emails here. We'll take a quick look at them. Do this break. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
We make the pie higher. I know humans and fish can coexist peacefully if we don't cave into desire. You can't take the high horse and then claim the low road. The past is over. We all know the importance of bondage between mother and child in the home. But it's hard to put food on your family, oh, when you're always eating alone.
The Democrat approach comes down to this. The terrorists win and America loses.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's see. In his 20-minute speech, he... you've got to notice this by its omission. He didn't mention Israel one time. He mentioned Iran about 40. So probably now, as we're speaking, the missiles are being readied for launch off some of those nuclear... submarines have been floating around in the Sea of Japan, bumping into stuff. He didn't mention Israel, but he mentioned Senator Joe Lieberman, which is about the same. There's not too much difference there. Astonishing. Let me make sure I understand his basic point. We can't withdraw from Iraq because we've done such a bad job so far that we got to send more troops to kill and die and spend more money that might end up in the hands of terrorists or something. Is that it in a nutshell? I believe it is. And we got to trust this puppet Maliki, whatever the hell his name is, that the U.S. will have access into insurgent neighborhoods? What? What's Maliki going to do? Is he going to go door to door and say, all right, here come the Americans. Let them in. Oh, my God. UPS, I have a candy gram here for all the insurgents in this neighborhood. Hello? Are we going to believe this again? Don't you feel like Charlie Brown and Lucy's holding the football? And once again, you're gonna go, okay, this time you're going to hold, let me kick it, right? Yes, Charlie Brown, I will. Son of a bitch. There it wasn't a shred of reality in the speech. The commanders on the ground have already said it won't work. The American people don't want an escalation. And now the last remaining member of the coalition of the willing. Do you remember that term? The UK is pulling out. The coalition of the willing. Ah, oh, Christ, who came up with that? So who is Bush listening to other than Joe Lieberman? He says he consulted experts and military members and scholars and members of Congress in this grand plan, and the best he gets from everybody is, we've got to send in more troops and trust Maliki to stop the violence by next November. Or, mushroom cloud. Is he kidding? He says there's no magic bullet, but then his plan, quote, unquote, rests on the total fantasy that this terrorist Maliki can do anything to stop the bloody chaos we created in the first place. I call him Maliki, what, how do you say his name, Kathy? Maliki? I don't know. I call him a terrorist because he is the head of a puppet government. He's like the Vichy of French during World War II. He's a collaborator. What makes anyone in this country think this guy can do anything to stop the chaos we created? It's not Maliki's fault. Maliki didn't invade the country. We did. Oh, Christ. And as the U.S. generals have said repeatedly, they don't see anything an additional 20,000 troops can do that the previous 140,000 couldn't. And it's magical thinking, delusional thinking, psychotic thinking to believe Maliki can somehow train, equip, mobilize thousands of Iraqi troops and police by November. Hell, the few Iraqi troops have been trained that have been trained keep quitting and going home. What's going to be different in November? Oh, that's right. George Bush stamped his foot and crossed his arms and pursed his lips and said, you better do it, Maliki, whatever your name is. I'll bet Maliki doesn't last till the end of this month. What do you want to bet? Taking bets? Jesus. There's so many things in this speech. What did he say early on? Where mistakes have been made, the responsibility rests with me. You're damn right they do. You are a miserable, piss-poor excuse of a leader. Get out of town, George. Just go away. Go screw up a baseball team. Go drill for oil. Get the hell out of town. The responsibility rests with me. Failure in Iraq, he says, would be a disaster for the United States. Jesus Christ, the arrogance of that statement. Huh? Failure in Iraq will be a disaster for the United States. And his thing here about radical Islamic extremists would grow in strength and gain new recruits. No. That's what they're doing now, you halfwit. If we got out of there, if we demanded a more equitable approach to the Israel-Palestinian issue, if we started being negotiators for peace instead of instigators of war, there would be no insurgency, you dumbass! I know that! And I'm a talk show host. He says they would be in a better position to topple moderate governments. And who would that be in the Middle East? Tell me, someone, please. Is there a moderate government in the Middle East? Well, let's take a look. Iran and Syria are terrorist states, according to Bush. Saudi Arabia is an absolute monarchy. Oops, so's Jordan. What's this? Kuwait is the same. The United Arab Emirates? Gee, that looks like monarchy too. What's left? Oh, Israel! What are they? They're a dictatorship. Moderate governments in the Middle East? Oh my God. And then he said, I was wondering how long it would take him. It only took him about 5 minutes to bring up September 11th, 2001. He said, on that date we saw what a refuge for extremists on the other side of the world could bring to the streets of our own cities. No, you lying bastard. What you saw was the result of 40 or 50 years of a one-sided approach to very real problems in the Middle East, a one-sided approach taken by the United States. We have overthrown governments. We have had people assassinated. We have backed Israel no matter what Israel has done. We have been an absolute thorn in the side of the people in the Middle East. That's why they finally said, to hell with this, if you believe the official story, and sent 19 bombers to this country, 15 of whom were from Saudi Arabia. For the safety of our people, he says, America must succeed in Iraq. No, for the safety of our people, America must get the hell out of the Middle East. Oh, and if 9/11 bugged you so much, George, why didn't you attack Saudi Arabia? Why Iraq? Was the light just better over there? Is that what it was? He says our past efforts to secure Baghdad failed for two principal reasons. There were not enough Iraqi and American troops to secure neighborhoods that had been cleared of terrorists and insurgents. I'd like to know one single neighborhood, and I'm sure this lying bastard in the White House probably has a list, chuckle, of any neighborhood ever cleared of insurgents. No, George, they weren't cleared. They just avoided the troops from the United States and the coalition of the willing. And he said there were too many restrictions on the troops we did have. Oh, well, let's pull out the restrictions then. Rape is now allowable. The slaughter of innocent civilians is now allowable. More torture is now allowable. Hanging people up on meat hooks is now allowable. Waterboarding and drowning is now allowable. How about summary executions, huh? What has it been, George, that our troops were restricted from doing? What? You and your corrupt, filthy administration instigated torture. What else is there? What else is there, George? You showed the great Islamic empire that the great Christian empire tortures, just like Saddam did. My God. And then he says these Iraqi forces, these magical forces that are going to be, they're going to come out of the hills. They're going to descend from heaven. They're going to rise from hell. Where are they coming from? These Iraqi forces, he says, will operate from local police stations, the ones that keep getting blown up. Conducting patrols, the ones that keep getting blown up. Setting up checkpoints, the ones that keep shooting innocent Iraqi families into red mist. And going door to door to gain the trust of Baghdad residents. Doing what? Selling magazine subscriptions? Door to door? Hello, I'm from the Maliki government. We're here to gain your trust. Jesus God! And then he says, in earlier operations, political and sectarian interference prevented Iraqi and American forces from going into neighborhoods that are home to those fueling the sectarian violence. This time, Iraqi and American forces will have a green light to enter these neighborhoods. Here we come! And I love this. Prime Minister Maliki has pledged that political or sectarian interference will not be tolerated. Maliki pledged that? Maliki pledged that.
Well, it's going to stop. By Christ. Sorry. By Allah. It's gonna stop.
It is. It's gonna stop. It's gonna stop. It is. Gonna stop.
fool me once, shame on you. If you fool me, we can't get fooled again.
About 10 before the hour, he also said, if the Iraqi government does not follow through on its promise, and that is to go door to door and force people to open their doors to allow the soldiers in, I guess, if they don't follow through on its promise, the Iraqi government, he says, it will lose the support of the American people. Hey, halfwit, have you seen the latest polls? It will lose the support of the American people. Oh, yeah, we're all behind the Maliki government tonight, aren't we? Gee, what are the numbers? 87 in favor, 87% in favor, and 9 not in favor, and 6 undecided, huh? Is that what you think the numbers are, George? Oh, my God. This new strategy, he says, will not yield an immediate end to suicide bombings, assassinations, or IED attacks. Oh, my God. But we're going to do it anyway, right? Oh, yeah, sure. You know what would bring everything to an end? If we got the hell out of there, George, and allow the Iraqis to go ahead and have their civil war that we instigated, there's a lot more bloodletting that's going to happen in Iraq. Oh, Jesus Christ, the streets are going to be ankle deep in guts and blood and brain tissue. Or are we going to fall back on the Pottery Barn analogy again? Huh? Who came up with that? And did you hear the way he caged his terms very carefully, using words like more likely to succeed and moving closer to success and we might hasten the day our troops begin coming home. Might hasten the day? Hasten the day? No, you write that kind of language, hasten the day, when you're on an island somewhere and you're writing back home to your girlfriend or boyfriend, I hope to hasten the day when a ship comes by and I can make it back to California and then across the great prairies to Findlay, Ohio, where my love lies waiting. Please hasten the day. Jesus God. But then he said to expect more death and bloodshed. That's the only time I saw a twinkle in his eyes. And sacrifice, even if his magic plan works. So tell me again, why is this a good idea? Bush wants to embed our troops with Iraqi troops? This is like a Monty Python skit. Does he think that'll fool the insurgents?
Look, Akbar, who's that funny blue-eyed Muslim soldier over there, and why does he have breasts?
This is insane. This is only, it's now entering into the realm of parody. That's all that can be done here. Meanwhile, we keep losing American soldiers and Marines, but Christ Almighty!
There's never been a democracy in Iraq. There's only been an Iraq since the end of World War I. But Maliki is going to do it by November? Bush is going to make sure Maliki brings democracy to a little region of the world, the boundaries of which were set by the United States and France and Great Britain 80 years ago, 90 years ago, and all of a sudden he's going to do this. He can't bring food trucks to New Orleans. He can't get water into people who are dying of thirst, but he's going to bring democracy to Iraq by November. Oh, my God. He can't get FEMA trailers removed
and housing built in Mississippi, you know, that part of the world he keeps talking about. But he's going to do this. This is the most asinine, ridiculous speech I've ever heard. This is insane. Insane. And what was this last bit? Not the last bit of the speech, but the notes I took. He's talking about the captured Al-Qaeda document describes the terrorist plan to infiltrate and seize control of Anbar province. This would bring Al-Qaeda closer to its goals of taking down Iraq's democracy. What democracy? Building a radical Islamic empire! Oh, a radical Islamic empire. And they're going to do this in Anbar province? A radical Islamic empire. I thought... I did. No, I didn't think. I remember. 4-5 years ago, if you believe the official story, 15 Saudis, an Algerian, a Moroccan, and some, I don't know, a couple from some other Arabic-speaking country, if you believe the official story. But the part that I'm focused on, the 15 Saudis hijacked airplanes and killed 3,000 people, almost, including about 2,400 Americans, slammed airplanes into our buildings. And somebody told Bush prior to the attack that was going to happen, and he ignored it. And subsequent to the attack, if you believe the official story, we found out that the terrorists had been trained in Afghanistan. So we attack Iraq. This man is insane. If the Democrats don't remove him from office, maybe the American people should. Welcome back. About 7 past the hour. All right. One email and then your phone calls. This is from Mickey, who says, I was stunned at the news of a rising Islamic empire. I wonder what would be said if someone called the U.S. the rising Christian empire. It's funny, if you replace extremism, Islamic fundamentalism and hateful ideology with communism, it's Vietnam all over again. The idea that the Islamic extremists are the new threat is laughable when you look at the years of peace with Islamic countries while the Soviet Union was the big threat. Lo and behold, the Soviet Union collapses and we go to war with Iraq. We also invade Afghanistan when the Soviets are no longer around to protest. We're not going after a country that has little resources whose main export would be vegetables. Yes, democracy is on our mind, indeed. Oh, man, that's from Mickey.
You know, what I keep wondering is why now this new plan? You know, what did it take? What did we have to cross a 3,000 mark?
No, the election.
Ah,
our election.
So Bush really didn't think anything was wrong in Iraq until the Republicans started losing here.
No, he knew everything was wrong in Iraq. He just didn't have to answer for it or pretend like he gave a damn. He could hold back and pretend he was a war president. Now that subpoenas are going to flow, now that investigations are going to be conducted, oh, well, Joe Lieberman.
Now it's important to have a plan for success and a strategy for success, and it's important to send more troops and more money. Oh, now we start a jobs program. We can't have one in New Orleans, but we can start one in Baghdad.
Well, I didn't even hear that part. Did you hear that part?
Well, I think that's outlined in some talking points that are on the White House website, but he's talking about putting more money into the Iraqi government. I think it's a people on the street kind of...
Well... I have the same question, Kathy. I have no idea other than the fact that it has become clear that the American people have had enough.
And is anybody convinced by this? I mean, I don't think, did he convince you? I'd love to hear somebody out there who said, you know, after hearing this speech,
I've really changed my mind.
I really think he's got an idea here. We'll just put some you know, we'll get Maliki to stand up the Iraqi government. And
we'll increase the size of the Marine Corps and the Army.
Yeah, we'll put some troops in some different areas. We haven't tried that before.
We'll take in 40,000 troops.
Yeah, yeah. Well, why didn't we think of this before? Yeah. It took teams of strategists to think about this, and well, why stop there? Why not Iran and Syria? We've got an Islamic empire building.
Yeah, okay, Islamic empire. Yeah, they want to come over here and convert everyone to Islam. Yeah, okay. I'm so sick of it, aren't you? I mean, it's one thing to sit here and mock this jackass. It's another thing to sit here night after night, as you and I do, and talk about the criminal activities of this Bush madman and his cohorts inside and outside of government. It's something else, again, to sit here and watch the slow erosion, and not so slow under Bush, of liberty and justice in this country, not to mention constitutional guarantees. And it's something else, again, to watch the country go to hell in a handbasket. Oh, I know the wealthy are getting wealthier. Oh, praise Jesus. Isn't that nice? Oh, I know the stock market is at a highest level in its history, and there's a reason for it. Because the people who got most of the tax breaks are the people who invest most heavily in the stock market. And they don't have to worry about those pesky old capital gains taxes anymore. And they can continue to amass their wealth while the rest of us have to work and work and work. Productivity in this country has gone up 17% in the past 4 years. Wages have gone up 2% for people like you and me. And yes, me. It's astonishing. Let's do some phone calls, as promised. All right. Let's start with Philip, who is calling from San Diego. Hi, Philip.
Hi there, Mike. You know, when he was talking about making the neighborhoods better and stuff, I was waiting for him to, like, take off his jacket and his shoes and put on, like, a sweater and some tennis shoes and start singing about what a wonderful day in the neighborhood it was going to be.
Oh, God.
You know, right. You know, at our expense. You know, as far as
But the point he was making is that, and I know you're aware of this, that Maliki... All of a sudden, Maliki is going to have the can opener for these neighborhoods that heretofore have been sealed and filled to the brim, to the absolute brim, with fiery-eyed insurgents who want to do nothing more than come and bomb Detroit. These people, they're all mad. They're all mad, Philip.
Oh, they're insane. You know, and part of what he wants to do, he wants $1 billion. It's $1 billion. He wants to create jobs in Iraq, and for the troops that he's deploying, he wants another $5.6 billion. You know, as far as I'm concerned, I don't give a damn if they've got a job over there right now. And that might sound harsh and cruel and stuff, but I hear more about my own country and people here in this country.
It doesn't sound harsh and cruel, because the fact is that even though we've spent the past 14 years trying to kill everyone in Iraq with our depleted uranium and our daily bombing and our sanctions and our starvation. And, I mean, Saddam never bothered Saddam. Saddam had deals with German companies, companies from Great Britain, companies from Italy, companies from France, companies from the United States in the Oil for Food program, where he could bypass the restrictions. Saddam was fine, but the people suffered, and for 14 or 15 years, the UK and the US and this coalition of the bloodthirsty have done nothing but punish and murder and kill the Iraqi people. What in the name of Christ did the Iraqi people ever do to deserve this?
Not a damn thing. And now we're setting up, like I talked about the other evening, for Iran. I love how we threw in Iran in there. Yeah. Out of all the countries, and that should be a big clue to people. And you asked earlier in the show about who was he talking to. He's talking with his neoconservative buddies here, but also the neoconservatives in Israel as well.
I think he was. What is amazing to me is that this thug can give a speech like that and mention every single country in the region practically, and not even mention Israel, unless you count Lieberman as the stand-in for Israel, which I'm sure that's what he was doing.
Well, but, pretty much, yeah.
Oh, my God, I just can't believe this.
Of all the people for him to mention, too, Lieberman, I about choked on a sip of coffee I was having while I heard that. Yeah. But we're living in dangerous times. We're not going to be safer because of this. In fact, it's going to get worse, and there is going to be more bloodshed. I mean, these people are already pissed off, the people that are supporters of Saddam Hussein, at the way he was executed. Bush slept through the execution.
Sure.
They know this, you know, and we seem to think that there's a news blackout for some reason in Iraq. Like, they don't get the news or anything, only we get it, and they're totally stupid. They know what's going on.
That's true.
So we're going to have more death and destruction, and it's going to be horrible. One more quick thing. There was a great couple of pieces on antiwar.com.
Yeah.
A guy named Roberts.
Oh, yeah. I read the whole thing last night on the air. Paul Craig Roberts is a former Reagan administration official. Yeah. Yeah.
And
antiwar.com.
And he has another piece up here today that he's suggesting that this whole plan, this plan by Bush, is like a distraction for Congress to distract them from really what's going to go on in Iran.
That's very true.
And people got to keep that in mind. And people got to also get out there now and say something.
We better.
We got to do it because
we better get in the streets. We better get in the streets. Thanks, Philip. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Someone reminded me the other day that when LBJ gave a speech that resulted in the escalation of fighting in Vietnam. We had something like 50 or 60,000 troops in Vietnam, and when LBJ was finished, we had 500,000. The death toll, American death toll in Vietnam, was just about 3,000. And by the time, nearly 10 years later, 9 years later, when this blood-soaked demon Henry Kissinger and the rest of these monsters finally decided enough was enough, the American death toll was 58,000 dead. The parallels here are not imaginary, folks.
Now tell us what we see. We're being led by some wise souls, determined to put the mark into democracy. The decisions they're making are much too big for you or me. So facing the tide of negative news, liberal lies, left-leaning views that our enemies would spread. Keep that bucket on your head.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Back to the speech here for just a moment, where he's talking about, and the whole text is at New York Times now, where he's talking about Al-Qaeda. He's talking about the other two booger bears in the area, Syria and Iran. Of course, this is, you know, I said he got through the whole speech without mentioning Israel, with the exception of saying Joe Lieberman. But here it is. He says, succeeding in Iraq also requires defending its territorial integrity. and stabilizing the region in the face of the extremist challenge. Wow. This begins with addressing Iran and Syria. These two regimes are allowing terrorists and insurgents to use their territory to move in and out of Iraq. Now, let me pause for a second. When you think about it, there's the casus belli, as they used to say in ancient Rome, against Syria and Iran. There it is. These two regimes are allowing terrorists and insurgents to use their territory to move in and out of Iraq. That's his justification for what's coming next. And then he says Iran is providing material support. You get that? For attacks on American troops. Iran is providing material support for attacks on American troops. This will be the justification, or this is the justification, for what they're planning to do to Iran. And then he says, we will disrupt the attacks on our forces. You hear that? We will interrupt the flow of support from Iran and Syria. You hear that? And we will seek out and destroy the networks providing advanced weaponry and training to our enemies in Iraq. Now, I don't think it could be more clear that what Bush talked about tonight is the coming attack against Iran and Syria. But Iran is the one they're going to go for first, because the Israelis, the Israeli government, the Likud government, wants Iran out of the way permanently. Jack emails in, Mike, I was just listening to Tim Russert speaking with Brian Williams. Mike, I can tell when someone has been hitting the sauce, and Russert's been doing just that. And one side note, they're interviewing David Gregory outside the White House, and you can hear what seems to be a large and vocal crowd chanting, bring the troops home now. However, MSNBC won't show them. Wonder why. Well, Jack, it's because MSNBC is part of NBC, which is owned by General Electric, which is one of the biggest weapons manufacturers in the history of the human race. That's probably part of the reason, you think? Back to your phone calls. Nelson is calling from Syracuse, New York. Hey, Nelson.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Hey, I haven't heard from you in forever.
I know. You know me. I don't like to call in unless I really want to get something off my chest.
I hear you. I hear you, Nelson. All right.
I was wondering if you would mind if I direct a question to your flying monkey workers.
If people can do what? I didn't catch that, Nelson.
I would like to direct a question to your flying monkey lurkers.
Oh, okay. All right. To the lurkers.
That's okay.
That's okay. To the flying monkey lurkers of this program, Nelson has a question.
I want to know if in February 2003, George Bush told them that this war would last at least 4.5 years.
Right.
Cost over $700 billion, kill at least 3,000 American troops,
right,
kill at least 150,000 innocent Iraqi civilians,
right,
would they have still supported this war? And after all that, when it falls into chaos, we're going to escalate the war. Would they support this 4 years ago?
I think the answer would have been yes, Nelson. The people who support this war are anti-life, they're pro-war, they're pro-death, they're fanatics. So I think the answer, as sad as it is, would have been yes. Nelson, there's the music. We got a break. Hey, listen, I'm glad to hear from you. I haven't heard from you for over a year. Stay in touch, okay?
Okay, I will.
All right, Nelson, thanks for checking in. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
So let me introduce myself. George W. is my name. And things in good old Washington will never be the same. Now take a call and tell me what to say and what to do.
We must collectively get after those who kill in the name of some kind of false religion.
Wow. Suzanne in L.A. writes in, good evening, Mike. Well, I turned on my computer just after the speech, and there were three different groups, including MoveOn.org, that are organizing demonstrations for tomorrow, asking people to sign up, and people are clearly responding. This will be news, even on mainstream media. I don't know what's going to take. Someone said a long time ago that had the American people responded to what Lyndon Johnson did in 1966, probably 40 or 50,000 American members of the military would not have died in Vietnam, and probably a million or two Vietnamese, Cambodians, well, just Indochinese people would not have died either. So the time is now. If not now, when? If not now, when? For the American people to take to the streets.
I've got another hypothetical question I keep thinking about that maybe I'm crazy. This is simple-minded thinking, but, you know, what happens once the troops get home? Let's say that George waves a wand and Maliki all of a sudden opens the doors to Solder City and things start happening beautifully and the Civil War ends and there's milk and honey flowing in the streets and the American troops, you know, dust off their hands and say, okay, well, all done here, let's go home. What's to stop a year from now, 2 years from now? We've got a decimated country, a fragile democracy, an area of the world that has never seen democracy in millennia of existence. Some dictator comes in and takes over. We just go back or what? Or do you say, oh, well, we were a success in Iraq because, you know.
Well, you're supposing something that I think a lot of us are inclined to suppose, and that is that the U.S. military will dust its hands off, as you say, and leave. The Bush plan, the neocon plan, is to keep... Look, we're building something like 60 or 70, excuse me, military bases in Iraq. There's no plan to pull the troops forever out of Iraq. That was part of the mission to Iraq, to establish a permanent U.S. military presence that will enable us to react very, very quickly when someone tries to take our oil out of the Caspian Sea area. Anyone that believes that Bush has on the table somewhere in the future an idea of bringing the troops home is buying way too far into the Bush lies.
Well, I guess that's my point exactly. You know that. I know that. We know about the, what is it, $35 billion or million-dollar embassy or...
$350 million
embassy we're building and the permanent military bases. But I'm saying if you're of a conservative mind or even just an impartial mind and you're listening to Bush's speech, are we supposed to believe that, okay, troops are going to come home in maybe as early as November, once the Maliki government has stood up their own forces, and then everything will be fine? There won't be any other unrest in Iraq? It won't be ripe for another sectarian insurgency, and nothing else is going to happen?
Well, that's what people are supposed to believe. And don't forget, the most gullible people in the United States, probably in the world, but certainly in the United States, are conservatives. In this country, it's Republicans. As long as you tell them what they want to hear, even if it's not based in the real world, even if it's not, what's the term, reality-based, it doesn't matter. Republicans only want to hear. That's why the Christian conservatives decided that their lot was best served by casting in with the Republicans. Any fool, any idiot could figure out very quickly that using Christian mythology that Jesus, if anything, was a liberal, a total liberal, a total Democrat, a man of the people. We've got Christian ministers, hell, we have them here in Atlanta, who tell you that none of that is true. Jesus was a rich man. Look what the three wise men brought him, gold. You're supposed to go get, gimme, gimme, gimme. Republicans are the easiest manipulated group in the political history. And if you combine Christian evangelism and Republicanism and pump it into the same mind, that man or that woman that you see on all these different TV shows with their heads back and their mouths open, their arms stretched up to the ceilings of the church while they sing these hymns or whatever, those people are as easily moved as Hitler was able to move the masses in Germany. There's no thought there. There's no critical thinking. Religion does that to you, whether it is Christianity or Islam. It teaches you, don't think. Just do what we tell you to do. Look what's unfolding in Poland. Has anyone been following that? It turns out that the highest levels of the Polish Catholic Church were collaborating with the communists when Lech Wałęsa and a few Catholic priests were struggling to come out from under the yoke, the Solidarity Movement back in the 80s. And it's been all over the New York Times the past couple of days. It's gotten a back seat to this nonsense from Bush. Jesus, God, the way media have been treating the run-up to the Bush speech, you would have thought that he was going to say something important or rational or logical or sane. But there it is in the Times. The Polish Catholic Church. Poland is the most Catholic country, I think, on the face of the earth now. Certainly in the old Soviet bloc, the Eastern Soviet sphere of influence. What am I trying to say? It turns out that the Catholic Church hierarchy, bishops, all the way up to and including this wondrous Pope that came from Poland, that he apparently was part of it, to keep it quiet, because it would have harmed the Catholic Church. Meanwhile, the people of Poland are living in virtual slavery. And people wonder why religion makes me gag. But there it is, all over the New York Times. It's coming out. The documents are being released. Ah. So as far as Republicans, Christian Republicans in this country are concerned, oh, please give me a break. You could tell them the moon was made out of snot and they'd all reach for Kleenexes. You can tell them anything. So Bush gets up there tonight and that's who he's addressing. He's addressing his so-called base. The Christian evangelicals, the head bobbers, who just sit there and no matter how much murder and death and destruction is ordered in the Middle East, no matter how many Palestinians die, no matter how many Iraqis, no matter what this sick bastard decides to do. Oh, yeah, well, we're going to go along with it because when the corpse pile is high enough, Jesus will come back. You people are so sick. You are so demented. And again, I've said it before, any American Jew or any Israeli who casts their lot with these Christian evangelicals because you think that they really want to see Israel survive, you've got to be out of your minds. Because these Christians all believe that the day is coming when their Messiah, a Jew, will come back, and then all the Israelis and American Jews and Jews all over the world, you'll have one chance, either accept Jesus as the gateway to paradise, or these Christians will fall on you like ducks on a June bug and cut your throats. I don't get this. I don't get any of it. I swear to God, I don't. I just don't get it. So that's who... of course, Kathy, you and I and people listen to this program know damn good and well that none of this is possible. This is insane. This is full-blown nutsiness. Because George Bush says it, Maliki now is going to pry open neighborhoods that are chock-a-block with insurgents who are just are counter-revolutionaries. Call them freedom fighters, call them murderers. I don't care what you call them. But the neighborhoods that are full of people who are saying, no, these goddamn Americans are going to get out of our country and we're going to kill every one of them. And in the meantime, we're going to continue to kill Sunnis. And the Sunnis respond, well, screw you, we're going to kill you. And all of a sudden, this poor, miserable hangdog Maliki is going to bring this to an end because George Bush gives a little candy-ass speech in the United States the last 20 minutes. Oh, yeah. All of this is going to happen. Sure it is. Check in with me next week. Let me know how it's going, okay? So what are the sane people in this country supposed to do? What are we supposed to do now? Well, in Bush's addled brain, not that we're going to do this, but we're supposed to go, oh, Christ, I see. I didn't see it before. Now I see it. Oh, okay. Yeah. Let's support the president. Oh, and let's support our troops. Oh, and let's tell these damn Democrats they better not cut off the funding. They better go along with this. George Bush is a godly man, and he's right. The Muslims are trying to build an empire. Huh. Well, by Jesus, we'll stop that, won't we?
It's only this war in my head.
This is sick. This is beyond sick.
But I always carry the dead, carry them home. I have seen better men fight to the bitter end, following orders from you. And I don't think it's treason to ask for a reason. Nothing you've told us is true. Mr. President, I love my country completely.
And now a soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
This is from Liz. Email, she says, Mike, you noticed the same thing I did. Bush mentioned just about every nation by name in the region except Israel, unless you count our friends. And did you notice this sentence? Quote, we also need to examine ways to mobilize talented American civilians to deploy overseas where they can help build democratic institutions and communities and nations recovering from war and tyranny. End quote. Just another confirmation that Bush is truly a neocon and believes he is charged with restructuring the world in the corporate image through force. Definitely the scariest speech I've ever heard from Bush anywhere or anytime. He's going to do it, isn't he? He is going to start World War III. That's from Liz. And then from Bob in Amherst, Mass. Bob writes, Mike, 3 million Iraqis have fled their country. Those mostly being merchants, the intellectuals, professors and teachers, engineers, writers, and essentially the totality of the middle class, and most likely the left and liberal and progressive leadership of that nation. Now that Iraq is in chaos and the whole of its cultural structure weakened, the oil corporations, Exxon, Shell, Chevron, and British BP, have the new laws ready to be put into the Iraqi constitution. 70% of the profits of the oil at today's per barrel cost for 30 years. We'll go to the oil companies. This new surge is to upscale and escalate the prolong the U.S. grip on the weakened nation to guarantee the corporation's control of Iraqi oil and keep the real Iraqi leadership away. This so-called war will go on as long as there's oil under the ground in Iraq. This theft and rape was drummed up way back in Cheney's office. Remember the maps? It's also important to read Greg Palast's Armed Madhouse. Yeah, you're right. Bob in Amherst, Massachusetts. Yeah, that isn't getting much play. We mentioned it the other night, and the oil companies and the Bush crime family want to keep this completely off the table, and America's corporate networks are doing a very good job of keeping it off the table. But the Iraqi constitution is soon to be amended, if it's not in the process now being amended, that totally privatizes. You know, this talk tonight about the Iraqis are going to get a share of the oil. This is, were I an Iraqi and understood what was going on, it would be infuriating, because that's not what's going to happen at all. He said, where is it here? To establish its authority, the Iraqi government plans to take responsibility for security in all of Iraq's provinces by November. To give every Iraqi citizen a stake in the country's economy, Iraq will pass legislation to share oil revenues among all Iraqis. Now, see, that is a monster lie. 70% of the profits are going to go to the oil companies. The other 30% will go to whatever weird little government, puppet government, winds up in Iraq. And from that will come the share for the Iraqi citizens. This is grand theft. You know, I don't know. People like Greg Palast and Bart Kopp have been talking about this. If you haven't been to bartkopp.com, shame on you. But Bart Kopp lists about $350 million a day is being stolen from the people of Iraq. But I seriously have that question. What the hell did the Iraqi people ever do to us that resulted in this 15-year-long assault on their country, on their population? It has not let up since George Bush the First ordered April Glaspie, our ambassador to Iraq, to more or less give a tacit okay to Saddam Hussein when he decided that an invasion of Kuwait was in order, since in his mind, and who knows, the Kuwaitis were slant drilling and taking oil that in fact lay under the surface of Iraqi territory. And our ambassador to Iraq was instructed by George Herbert Walker Bush to notify Saddam Hussein, our ally for the previous 25 years, that the United States would not pay too much attention if Saddam Hussein's military reacted to the government of Kuwait and what Kuwait was doing. Ah, these evil sons of bitches. And from that moment forward, under three U.S. presidents, we have systematically killed millions. No. Millions of Iraqis. And remember, Madeleine Albright, Bill Clinton's Secretary of State, her infamous, filthy, degenerate, psychotic statement when she was asked if the deaths of 500,000 Iraqi children as a result of the sanctions placed against that country by Clinton, by the UN, she was asked if it was worth it. And the old bitch said yes. Damn you, Madeleine Albright. So it's been going on without let up. For 15 years, we have burned that country. We have poisoned it. We have dropped enough depleted uranium to make sure that the people of Iraq continue to give birth to malformed babies, the ones that live. It's disgusting. It's horrifying. It's contemptible. And most Americans don't know or don't care what we've done. Jesus Christ, after what we did in Vietnam with Agent Orange and now this. You know, to you Christian evangelicals, if there is a God, if there is a Jesus, and they do pass judgment, oh my God, hell is going to be thick with Christians. Welcome back. 6 and a half past the hour. If you want to see something pretty amazing, there's a website you need to check out, attitude.com. Are you familiar with it? A-T-T-Y-T-O-O-D, attitude.com. And the second story there, it was 40 years ago today. And what they've done here, they've taken excerpts from LBJ's speech on January 10th, 1967. That was a State of the Union speech about the war in Vietnam. And they've interspersed some of the cuts from what LBJ said on January 10th, 1967, 40 years ago, to what Bush said tonight, January 10th, 2007, regarding Iraq. And it's scary. And apparently, whoever wrote Bush's speech obviously looked at what Johnson said. But if you'll go to attitude, attitood.com, and the second story down, just read a little bit and then click on the link. And what they've done is taken excerpts from LBJ's speech and compared it to excerpts from Bush's speech tonight. It's pretty scary. Thanks to Nick in Nick and Patty in New Hampshire who sent me the link. Scary stuff. My question before the break about what the hell did the Iraqis ever do? Just consider it a rhetorical question, because you can switch the name Iraqis to, oh, I don't know, Salvadorans or Nicaraguans or Zimbabweans or Congolese. I mean, take your pick, you know. But the Iraqis, 15 years. We have been torturing them, killing them, burning them. Just absolutely atomizing their gene pool with depleted uranium. Without let up. Why? Come on. We're Americans. We're supposed to be the good guys. We don't do stuff like this, do we? Do we poison and torture and murder and sanction and beat the Christ out of people for 15 years because they have a dictator we don't like? We didn't do that to Batista. We didn't do it to Marcos. We didn't do it to, oh my God, just go down the list. Somoza? Pinochet? Keep going. We didn't do it to them. We supported those dictators. And we started out supporting Saddam. And financing him and providing him with weapons and germ cultures and oh my God, and now look what we've done. Look what we've done for 15 years. I honestly wonder sometimes how we Americans, those of us who vote, those of us who are citizens, how we stand up under the burden of shame. And my answer is, most of us just don't give a rat's ass. We really don't. We just don't care. We are willfully ignorant, and we keep ourselves that way. And maybe there's a reason for it. Maybe if we knew the truth, we just couldn't function. We're like a bunch of goddamn children. You know, how much time is going to be focused on Donald Trump and Rosie O'Donnell's little bitch slap fight? That's what we do, see? That's what we focus on. And these half-assed stars and media cretins, that's what we do. Meantime, we have financed 15 years of death and destruction against the people of Iraq without let up. And now this evil little man, George Bush, comes on the telly tonight and tells us that, oh, well, we're going to increase it. The people of this country tried in our abysmal political ignorance, in our just desire to make it, oh, go away. We voted to change the complexion of the United States Congress, the entire legislative branch, to try to stop this bastard. And what does he do? He comes out tonight and he gives the American people and the Iraqi people the middle finger. It's astonishing. It's hard for me to accept.
Yeah, I got one more little point I'm kind of confused on as long as we're talking about it. Why can't we use some of the existing 132,000 troops that are there now to try some of this new way forward strategy? Why can't we take, you know, a few of them here and just say, you know, let's give this a shot before we send more people in? Is there a reason they can't be kind of shuffled around or redeployed or something?
I don't know. I don't know. Kathy, you're asking me questions based in logic to a situation that, regarding a situation based in madness. And I just, I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know. And who among our crack news agencies are reporting the major flip-flops in Bush's policy? One day he says sending in more troops would send the wrong message to the Iraqi government, which needs to step up its efforts to stabilize their nation. And tonight it's we must send in more troops to support the Iraqi government's efforts to stabilize their nation. And what did they accuse Kerry of flip-flopping about? Voting on the war resolution when he was fed the filthy, disgusting lies that the entire country was fed by this cabal of Bush murderers and killers? And then once the truth comes out, Kerry says, I voted for it. I wouldn't vote for it now. And these piglets, these little Christian Republican conservative piglets, these little disgusting rats start going, flip-flop, flip-flop, flip-flop. What about your boy Bush tonight? And this new way forward plan is garbage. It's hog snot. It's nothing more than the original Iraq security plan with the added promise from Bush that this time Maliki really will do it. Huh? And don't you know it's going to be a very interesting State of the Union speech? He's going to be playing to a very different room this go-around, isn't he? Huh? But those Republican pigs will sit there, and if he farts, they will applaud. If he burps, they will applaud. If he picks his nose, they will applaud. It's just... it's pretty awful. I mean, it really is. I hate to be the Cassandra on the airwaves every night, sitting around with gloom and doom, but it doesn't have to be this way. You know, it really does not have to be this way. We really don't have to look in the mirror in the morning and say, what did Malloy ask last night? Why have we spent the past 15 years murdering people in Iraq? Literally, you can't escape it. I'm sorry. Turn off the radio. Turn off your computer. You're not going to escape it. We have spent 15 years engineering death and destruction against the people of Iraq. And my only question is why? Because they have the horrible misfortune of living on top of the third largest known reserves of oil? Is that why we murder and kill? The answer, quickly, yes. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why, for 15 years, we have butchered the country, the people, the society. And I don't know about you, but sometimes that really bothers me. It really does. When I start thinking about it, when I'm off the air and I'm having a cup of tea or a glass of wine before I go to bed at night, I think to myself, what in the name of God have we done?
It's about rich white men getting richer. It's about fear,
it's about fear
and control,
and control
of those barrels of black gold.
Texas tea. Yeah, step up, folks, to another war when we never really say what we're fighting for. It's easy to pretend we're defending our native soil. Put it in the headlines, I want to see it in big lights. Hello, it's about oil.
The Mike Malloy Show, because each time you listen to right-wing radio, God kills a kitten.
Twenty-one past the hour. Back to your phone calls. Wayne is calling from Boston. Wayne, welcome to the program. Thanks for your patience.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Doing all right.
I just called tonight. Comment on the speech is you hear a key word, corroborator.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of them. Joe Lieberman is a collaborator.
Collaborator, you mean?
Yeah, collaborator. Some bad people that have taken over our government, and people are looking the other way, and that's why it's gotten to this point. Joe Biden saying, oh, you can't cut the funds off. It's clearly in the Constitution. Somebody's got to stand up. And I think that all these demonstrations are putting pressure on the Democrats. It's going to change something, I'm hoping.
I hope it puts pressure on the Democrats. The Republicans damn sure aren't going to do anything.
Could you believe that 111 of them voted against the minimum wage today?
111, probably all Republicans.
All Republicans voted to raise the minimum wage.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
In fairness, and surprisingly, it should be noted that there must have been 70 or 80 Republicans who did vote in favor of it. Because it passed 300 and something to 100 and something, and there's only, what, 225 or 240? I don't even know what the number is.
I think it's
Democrats in the House.
They're up by 30 or something.
Yeah.
But the problem, I think, is, like, you made a good point about MSNBC being connected to General Electric. Now, these people at the TV companies, no, that's the key element that keep their little enterprise going.
Oh, sure. That's one of the reasons they get all sweaty and excited when some little tin pot dictator wannabe like George Bush orders another war. General Electric is beside themselves. That means they're going to show nice profits and their stocks are going to go up. Their stock price is going to go up because they are one of the largest weapons manufacturers in the history of mankind.
But they put up a good act because they've been blasting the president's policy. Like, they're playing this good guy, good cop, bad cop thing. And
yeah. Well,
I would never think that unless, like, I didn't know that until you told me that tonight.
Yeah, well, NBC is owned by General Electric, and MSNBC is just a division of it. Hey, Wayne, let me move on. Thanks, pal.
Yeah.
I appreciate you checking in. You take care. Mark is calling from Portland, Oregon. Hey, Mark, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. I'm calling from Portland, Oregon, and it is nice to hear yours and Kathy's voice again. We've been finally able to stream you.
Well, that's good. We're soon going to be on a radio station in Portland.
Well, cool. Oh, well, not necessarily KPOJ then, I guess, but whatever channel. I can hardly wait till you get back here. Hey, I was going to let you know, again, I'm a uncle of a young man that was killed in Iraq, William, back when he was 19 years old.
Yes, I remember.
And my son has talked to you before. And to listen to this stuff again, just, you know, it continually just makes me sick to my stomach. But I continue to listen and continue to try and get the word out there about things that are going on. One of the things we did this weekend, we went to a town hall that Senator Ron Wyden was speaking and answering questions in our county for.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that scared me probably the most is when he said he was not supporting the surge or escalation, which, well, way to go, Ron. But then I said, well, talk is cheap, but I got to ask him the question, you know, we understand there's a difference between supporting the troops and supporting the war. Uh-huh. I want you to know, are you going to stop funding this war? And he wouldn't answer that question. And he was asked it again two or three times, yes or no, and he just wouldn't come forth with an answer. And the scariest thing he said is, being on the Senate Intelligence Committee, he talked about, he said, you know, Iran is a real threat, and we need to be aware of that. But I can't really go into it because I'm, you know, because of the privilege and, you know.
Wyden said that?
Wyden said that. And it's like, oh, come on, don't even. I mean, I'm listening. And when I'm hearing about, you know, the admiral being put in charge, Fallon, and Abizade, and Casey being thrown out. And
right.
This whole thing that you're talking about with Iran is starting to. And then when I hear Wyden say something like that, I'm going, oh, my gosh, you know, and thinking that Wyden is, you know, he's a pretty, I know he's Jewish and he supports Israel and kind of, but to hear him talking about Iran like that scares me a lot.
Yeah, I'm surprised to hear that.
I am too, because he really stressed the fact that he, you know, I was one of the 23 senators that voted against giving the president authorization for the war. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, that's good, and let's keep it up. You know, let's not continue. What are you doing now so that we don't continue to fund this? I mean, we got to stop funding it. That's about the only thing that Congress can do at this point. And that's what scares me, too. The other day, here we are attacking Somalia. Did the president go? I mean, I heard today Tony Snow saying, well, I don't think we really conferred with anybody, did we? You know,
I know.
So does that mean when we go and attack Iran, he's going to say, well, you know, I can attack anybody I want now. I can go to war wherever I want. I really don't have to confer with Congress. I mean,
well, he more or less laid out his permission that he gives himself for that tonight. Hey, I got to leave it there.
Okay,
Thanks a lot for checking in, Mark.
Thank you, and we look forward to hearing you again.
All right, sir. Take care. We'll be right back, Truth Seekers.
Sometimes I'm happy, you know, this is... But wars are not a time of joy. These aren't joyous times.
Hey, little sister, what have you done? Hey, little sister, who's the only one? Hey, little sister, who's the Superman? Shotgun.
25 before the hour. Where are we? Will is calling from Michigan. Will, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. I wanted to respond to something you said at the end of the first hour.
Yeah.
You said if the Democrats don't remove Bush from office, maybe the American people will.
Yes.
Well, about 20 years ago, I took an oath to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And
right.
This fascist bastard is a domestic enemy, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, there's no question. A Bush is not defending or protecting the U.S. Constitution. He perverts that. He says, my job is to protect the American people. No, it isn't. His job is to protect and defend the Constitution. It is one would hope that the United States military, even though Washington and all the people back in the day who put this country together warned against a standing army, but given the fact that we're going to have one regardless, it is. Up to the military to defend the people of this country. It is up to the executive branch to protect and defend the Constitution. Bush is a son of a bitch who should be taken out of office legally and peacefully, but he has violated his oath. He has committed high crimes and misdemeanors against the people and the Constitution of the United States, and he should be impeached, tried, and removed from office. And it's just disgusting to me that the crimes of George Bush far exceed the crimes of Dick Nixon. But back then, in the early 70s, there still were Republicans in the House and the Senate who had at least a bit of integrity and decency left and went to Nixon and said, your ass is going down. You better get out while the getting is good. So I can't believe I mean, I can believe it, but it's hard for me to believe that that the Republican Party has degenerated to the point that it has. And it's also hard for me to believe that the Democrats are so goddamn spineless, pardon my language, but are so absolutely spineless that here's a man who has committed these crimes and they're going to sit back on their on their comfortable asses and allow it to continue.
Well, if Congress doesn't do their job and they leave it up to the American people, it's not going to be pretty.
No, it's not. Providing
it's going to look like what they did to Mussolini.
Well, I woo. that's pretty intense, Will. But I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I will guarantee you that there's an attitude amongst law enforcement in this country that I don't know where the attitude comes from. I guess it comes from the top down. We have militarized law enforcement in this country, whether it is the police department in San Francisco or the county sheriff's department here in Atlanta. It doesn't make any difference. They have been militarized. Jesus Christ, every time somebody goes nuts and holds a gun to his own head, they send out these SWAT teams into the neighborhood, and it looks like the country's being invaded by, I don't know, something out of the mind of George Lucas. It's just unbelievable how the police in this country have been militarized. The reason I bring that up is with enough demonstrations and enough people taking the streets and the reactivation of these detention camps scattered around the country, thanks to Oliver North, that traitorous bastard, there's a very good chance that we could see within the next, short period of time, some real ugly stuff going on in this country. You've had military training, so you could probably conduct yourself in a much more defensive way than somebody like most of us who have not had military training. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. It just I don't know, Will. But I'm just it just makes me nervous and worried. And I have to admit, more than a little bit scared about my Democratic Republic here.
I had two friends killed by the FBI about a week before 9/11, and it was the end result of a 2-year witch hunt. Mm. These guys were activists. They were promoting the legalization of marijuana, and they were in a real conservative area.
Right.
And they had been pushed to the limit, and they. They just, instead of going to court receiving a mandatory minimum 10-year sentence, they just barricaded themselves in their house and said, "Hell no, we won't go."
Yeah.
And the FBI mowed them down.
That's the worst thing you can do in Bush's America is barricade yourself in your own house and be armed and refuse to come out. For whatever reason, I'm not talking about the crazy people who hold their children hostage, put guns to their heads or knives to their throats. I'm not talking about the psychos. I'm talking about the people who, for whatever reason, barricade themselves, for whatever reason other than domestic violence, barricade themselves and start screaming through a broken window pane, come and get me, you sons of bitches. What usually happens in a case like this, you see it on TV, so do I, so does everybody. What happens is you have what looks like a paramilitary squad from some other star system all of a sudden shows up. Jesus God, these people are scary. With their black helmets and their super weapons and all this. Oh my God. So it's not surprising, the story that you tell. So many of us can tell a similar story. Not that we've had friends cut down by these bastards, these fascists, but that we've seen it on television. So, I don't know. Maybe there's something in the collective awareness of the American public that says, I don't know about taking to the streets. These sons of bitches will gun me down. I come from the era when, I've smelled enough tear gas and had my eyes sting and my lungs hurt and my skin feel like it was on fire to understand what that kind of reaction is. But I've never been shot. I've never been hit by a so-called rubber bullet. You know, I've never been hogtied and thrown in the back of a takeaway van. You know, so I don't know. I think we're in for some rough times. Well,
it's not going to be pretty.
Thanks for checking in. All right, who's next? Sarge is calling from Mississippi. Hey, Sarge.
Hey, I wanted to give you an update.
All right, go ahead.
In the first week, we have already filled up one truck going to Jackson County from the Phoenix area.
That's great. That's from the listeners at KPHX in Phoenix who are donating building supplies, furniture, appliances for what Sarge and a lot of people are trying to do in Mississippi to help folks who are desperately in need. You've got one truck full. How many trucks are there? Three?
There's four if you count the one coming from that Cassie and Betsy have put together out in Texas, and they're doing a really good job. They've got a website up. You can go to my website to see theirs. But it's really moving along really nice. John Bryan went out Tuesday to pick up stuff, and he didn't get around to everything that he had been asked to pick up. Mm-hmm. So next Tuesday he'll go back and pick up more. So people are really doing a good job, and it's coming at the nick of time because Jim got notified day before yesterday that a grant he had put in for several months ago was turned down because of, quote, duplication of services.
As if the people in Mississippi, in southern Mississippi, are suffering from duplication of services. Yeah, y'all have to. You've got too much down there.
There's just too much coming down here.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why we got people starving.
What's
the
web?
People dying.
Say the website again, Sarge.
Oh, well, you can go to unreportednews.net.
Unreportednews.net. Now, the reason I wanted you to say it, if people go to unreportednews.com, you're going to wind up the wrong place. Unreportednews.net. Net.
Yeah, the name of the organization that I'm forming there is Unreported News Network, and the reason is I'm hoping eventually to turn it into something really nice, maybe even somewhere along the line somebody will pick it up and turn it into a television thing.
Yeah.
But also I wanted to let you know that that interview with Heather Bosham?
Yeah, right.
She notified me it was up today, and I've read it, and it's really nice. So it's at progressivehandbook.com.
Now, what is it again?
It's the article that Heather Vokish wrote on me.
Yeah,
where
is it?
The Inspiring Person of the Month for January.
Right, where is that?
Progressivehandbook.com.
All right.
And, Mike, tell everybody thank you, and let's keep it up, folks. We're doing a good job.
Thanks, Sarge. I appreciate it. We'll be back after the break. Unreportednews.net. Go there if you want some information about what Sarge is talking about. Engineer in Phoenix, Ian Huff, who also answered your phone calls, Chris in Minnesota, Mark Marshall, moderators at MikeMalloy.com on the message board, also Ben Birch, White Rose Society. .org, Catherine Bay, our executive producer. Thanks to everyone's efforts tonight to get the program on the air. Lee is calling from Oregon. Lee, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Lee.
I got a piece of news I wanted to see if you know.
Okay.
The Iraqi news agency is going to relocate its head office to Jordan.
To Jordan.
Do you know where they are now?
I'm afraid to ask.
You might guess Iraq, but no, they're in Egypt now.
They're
because
in Egypt.
They can't even stay in Iraq. This is the news agency that I guess that Maliki, he calls them on the phone and they tell him the news, he tells them the news and then they release it from another country because it's not safe for them to be in their own country. And they're moving to Jordan so they can be closer to the ground in Iraq. Isn't
oh
that amazing?
God. Yeah. It is. Well, in one sense it is. Another sense, no, it's not amazing. It's the Middle East.
And then here's another one. The soldier who wiped out that family, the private that killed the family, he was diagnosed as a homicidal threat by the military 3 months before he killed those people. But they let him stay in service, probably because they didn't have enough soldiers. That's on the Contra Costa Times website.
Yeah.
And then the Veterans Administration says number of wounded veterans could cripple the VA, where they can't even cope with the number of wounded at this level right now.
Yeah, it's going to take
amazing?
It's going to take billions to handle the Americans coming home who brain damaged, arms, legs, limbs missing. The permanent disabilities that will go on for the rest of their lives. It's just horrifying what Bush has done. It's just horrifying. And this evil, evil man stood up there tonight and said not only is it going to continue, but he's going to send more people into the meat, into the meat grinder. It's just astonishing. I hope we Americans don't let this go on. I hope we don't.
I like that one guy who talked about Wyden because I thought he, your last caller, a few ago, it's nice to have someone at the events because Wyden puts on a different face when you read it from the news. But when someone's there actually talking to him, he doesn't sound like such a nice guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I've gotten a couple of emails since that caller from Oregon about Ron Wyden, and they're not very flattering. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the sad reality is you could say that about so many so-called Democrats.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, right. So.
All right. Well, Lee, thanks for checking in, pal. Oops, is he gone already? I'm sorry, Lee. Didn't mean to abruptly hang up on you like that. Somebody sent me the other night William Butler Yeats's just a couple of quick quotes from The Second Coming. And American Politics Journal has it at the top of an essay on by Bernard Weiner, or Wiener, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, which you ought to read. Just go to American Politics, what is it? What's the website, Kathy? It's American Politics Journal. You can find it. Or you can go to crisispapers.org, crisispapers.org, and look at the essay by Bernard Wiener, Surging Towards Bethlehem, How to Stop the Madness. And he begins by saying, you know, a quote from Yeats' Second Coming, which is by far one of the scariest poems I think I've ever read, but it's this part, things fall apart, the center cannot hold. Mere anarchy is loosed upon the world, the blood-dimmed tide is loosed, and everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned. The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. And what rough beast, its hour come round at last, slouches toward Bethlehem to be born. That to me is one of the scariest poems in the English language. Second Coming. It's just frightening. And somebody sent this to me tonight. Bernard, is it Weiner? Is that how he pronounces it, Bernard Weiner? What a weird night. Tonight was absolutely surreal. I mean, it's one thing to kind of voice over and pick apart what this freak is saying, like I tried to do, just to maintain or retain or my own sanity, while he's sitting there for 20 minutes telling me that the madness is going to spread. It's one thing to do that. It's something else again, then, to get on with the program and take a look at the printed page of what this psychopath had to say tonight. I don't know. This has just been a weird, weird evening. It truly has. Thanks for participating in the weirdness, though, however you did that. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.